Over the years, the Olympics have had their share of scandals, and not just in figure skating. One of the darkest episodes in Olympic history played out in East Germany in the 70s and 80s. You may remember those hulking East German women who dominated swimming. At the 76 Games, they won 11 out of 13 swim events. We now know that these East Germans were given massive doses of performance-enhancing anabolic steroids. In the last few years, as the true stories come out, some former champions have returned their gold medals and denounced their old coaches who forced them to take the drugs. Sports psychologist Steven Ungerleiter has written the harrowing story of this scandal. He's called it Faust's Gold, Inside the East German Doping Machine. As a sports psychologist, Dr. Ungerleiter has also worked with U.S. Olympic athletes for many years. He brings us an insider's knowledge of what it takes to be an elite athlete. He's here to talk with Steve Paulson.
Great to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Well, in the history of Olympic scandals, how big a scandal is this the one that happened in East Germany?
Well, it's really huge. We're talking 30 years of doping. This was all documented by the Stasi secret police. We learned about it late 80s. The documents surfaced in the 90s. We had criminal trials, which involved indictments of over 400 coaches and doctors and trainers. Subsequently, they were prosecuted in the Berlin criminal trials and were sentenced to jail.
Now, a lot of people had suspected that these women were taking drugs. You could look at them and you could see that they were just bigger and stronger than a lot of the other women they were competing against. And the International Olympic Committee had tests that were supposed to catch cheaters. And I guess I'm wondering how the East Germans managed to avoid getting caught.
Well, in fact, we did know. I've been in sports medicine since the late 70s, appointed to the USOC in 84. And we would be in situations where our athletes and coaches would say, gee, I'm not sure if I'm in the correct locker room. You know, these ladies are very large and very aggressive, and the virilization process, the hair and
They had deeper voices. They had hair growing all over their bodies.
Yeah, so people were, you know, looking a little bit strange at the situation. And our athletes, our U.S. athletes, were coming out of the locker room and getting ready for races and saying, Coach, this just doesn't seem normal. So we had reports, anecdotal reports, for many, many years, but we couldn't prove it. And one of the problems we had was that even though drug testing protocols started in 68 in Mexico City, 72 Munich was the benchmark for the real testing, 76, we had very sophisticated GCMS, mass spectrometry for steroids. We had everything in place, but the East Germans, the former GDR, were still beating the system.
What you're saying is that the medical science was very sophisticated, and the East Germans had it down. They knew how to keep one step ahead of the testers.
They did indeed, and they would get around the tests by using different testosterone derivatives. They would use injections and taper their injections. They would use pills with a half-life of, 10 days. They had it down to a science, and they not only worked with top medical doctors, sports medicine officials, but they actually had people at a pharmaceutical company who were actually consulting with them on how to taper off the drugs so that when they came to competition time, or they had to travel abroad to an Olympic venue, they could beat the test. And by the way, they also put into place in the 70s and 80s a pre-screening. So every Olympian who came out of the GDR, former East Germany, would be screened before they left the country. So the officials for the Olympic Committee in East Germany knew if they had a problem, and in fact, there were some kids who tested positive, and they were removed from the team, and they always had a replacement, a backup, to be there for them.
And to get a sense of the scope of this scandal, it really went up to the top of East German society. I mean, this was not just something that a few coaches were dealing with. The highest sports authorities and presumably the political leaders knew what was going on.
Indeed. In my research over the past 5 years and in my book, Faust's Gold, I actually have a flow chart. When I attended the Berlin doping trials in Germany and met with the prosecutors and met with the athletes and the lawyers for the plaintiffs, we were all stunned. I mean, we thought these were just coaches and trainers doing injections, maybe a few doctors here and there. But it turned out we had 10,000 athletes who were being doped, and we had several thousand trainers and doctors. And in fact, we have documented from the court and from the Stasi police files that senior members of President Honecker's cabinet were involved.
Now, the saddest part of the story, I think, is what happened to these young girls in particular. Now, I remember watching them on TV, and they seemed kind of cocky, but then you hear the stories of what happened and what they were put through, and these were often 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds who showed athletic promise, and they were put on pills right away. They were told they were vitamins.
Indeed. The big cover-up was that they were told they were minerals, vitamins. They're good for you after you finish your workout. You will recover faster. You'll feel better. You'll sleep better if you take your mineral and your vitamin and your injection. So nobody asked questions. These were teenagers. They were very vulnerable. They believed in their coach. They believed in their trainer. Remember now, they were taken out of their homes and put into a training camp, so they rarely had contact with their parents. So the coach, trainer, doctor became their mentor and surrogate parent. And in fact, they would take the mineral because they believed this was the right thing to do.
But what has emerged in recent years is that many of those girls who were taking these steroids 20 or 30 years ago have developed serious medical problems. Some have developed cancer. Some who've had children have had deformed babies, and apparently that goes back to the drugs they were taking.
We've documented, unfortunately, hundreds of cases of women who have developed heart disease, pancreatic cancer, liver cancer as a result of these very high thresholds of testosterone. And unfortunately, at the very end of the trial, many women came forward with their children who were deformed and presented them to the judge and to the court. And I must tell you, it was a very, very painful scene.
Well, I can only imagine the trauma that must have come out during the trial. These women must have felt shame, terrible shame at what the, I mean, their lives to some degree had been built on their athletic success when they were younger, and it was all revealed to be a fraud. They had all of these problems. I know during the trial, some of them were asked very personal questions about their bodies. There were gynecological exams. It must have been humiliating.
It was terribly traumatic, and when I interviewed the athletes and the coaches and trainers, what came up were a number of things. We were never told. We were lied to. We haven't seen some of our colleagues or other swimmers for 20 years. We've all gone off to our career. And so when they were brought, they were subpoenaed by the Berlin prosecutors, and when they sat in a room, 15, 20 of them, many of them had not had contact, but it had rumors, had heard rumors about the steroids. And as they went around the room, they told stories to each other of nightmares. And the nightmares went something like this. I always would wake up in the middle of the night with my sweat clothes on at the pool, and I couldn't get my clothes off as the gun went off. And I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to compete in my race. The other nightmare was I was afraid that I would dive in the pool and drown. And these were a series of nightmares that they shared with each other. And it was the first time that they had come together. And they were all struck by the fact that they were living through this trauma. And then, of course, as you mentioned, during the court proceedings, the defense for the doctors and some of the trainers said, "Come on, ladies, you all knew you were being injected. You all knew this was happening." And so they were humiliated. They were embarrassed. They had to relive the trauma. So there was a lot of posturing, a lot of politics, and it was a very difficult situation for these ladies to come forward and testify.
Steven Ungerleiter is a sports psychologist. He's the author of Faust's Gold, Inside the East German Doping Machine. Thanks very much for joining us.